Sixon Wells on his moped. He tried to run the yellow light, T-bone a truck, and I held his hand as he gave his last. And I said, "You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right." And I knew he was leaving. And he just hung on till he died. Held a 15-year-old boy's hand as he gasps his last few breaths. His friend accidentally shot him dead center with a 9mm right there. I saw a little baby. And I've seen many, many old people. All sorts. I went to a house once with a 24-year-old kid dead on the couch. We never knew what happened to him. We couldn't figure it out. He didn't have a drug in him. He just died. We couldn't figure out, hey, this is a precarious place we're living in. And I need to be reminded constantly that I'm going to die someday, and it could be today. And this scripture should remind us of these things. Life is very precarious, and the future unknown. And to go one more day without saving faith is laying your eternity in a fallen and dangerous world that is certain to one day take your life, as Jonathan Edwards would say in his sermon, "And their foot shall surely slip." That's it. We're going to meet this end. And here, very quickly, death is reigning and is happening in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We find, first of all, the first believer is killed. The second one mentioned never dies. The third one mentioned is saved from death and his whole family. And then we come to the patriarchs here. And so we see that death is common because they said, what did Jesus say? Hey, the day you eat this tree, you shall surely die. And the devil said, nuh-uh. That's not what he said. You won't really die. Whew, we did. So let's read it. Would you stand with me? Hebrews 11. 8 through 16, and let's see how this goes here. Now, by faith, boy, we start out like that all the time. This is how they did it. They did it by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, which architect and builder is God. Verse 11, by faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. She was 90. Since she considered him faithful who had promised, they named the kid Isaac. His name means laughter. I bet everybody laughed, huh? Therefore also, there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in the number, and as numerable as the sands which is by the seashore. Talking about Abraham, he was 100 years old when he fathered Isaac. All these died in faith. Might want to underline that. Without receiving the promise, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they're seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Lord, we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for your word. Would you open our hearts to your word? And may we be sober about this most important decision of our lives, living in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to tell you three things here today. I want to tell you about the response to faith, It requires a response. Number two, the result of our faith. And thirdly, the reward. That's all I'm going to talk about. All right? So let's first of all see here that faith requires a response. Do you know Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees? Down there by Iraq, Iran, all that place, okay? Along the Euphrates River. And God came to him. Abraham didn't come to God. Abraham was a pagan, living in a pagan nation. He just found grace in the eyes of God. And God called him. Did you see that? Right there in verse 8, it says here that by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. And so we see here, now this is speaking of those just mentioned, specifically Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob. Since all these died in faith, because we know Enoch didn't die in faith. He lived in faith. He was translated. And so now we know that Abraham was totally lost pagan man living in Ur of the Chaldees, and God came to him, not the other way around. And it says here that by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called. So we see here that by faith Abraham was first called by God. Do you know God's calling you? I think he calls people all the time. I see people walk in this church all the time for the first time and says, I just really felt like I needed to come to church today. God don't need me. The Holy Spirit's powerful and active. And he's here to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. That's what John 10 says. And that's what brought you here. And maybe you're a visitor here today. I don't know. But you're coming here to hear the gospel that you have to respond to faith when he's calling you. If God is calling on your heart, do not put it away. Obey. Receive him. So we see here that by faith Abraham was first called. Then this is the vocation of the Holy Spirit, to call us out of a fallen and lost state and show us our need and hope in Christ. If God's calling you. We see calling all over the Bible. Hebrews 3:1, partakers of the heavenly calling. Ephesians 1:18, hope of his calling. Ephesians 4:1, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Ephesians 4:4, in one hope of your calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, hath God called us with a holy calling. And how about 2 Peter 1:10, make your calling and election sure. Hey, you have to be called by God. And if you've been called by God today, you're a blessed person. Man, I'm telling you what, death is so wrapped up in our faith. Hey, we have got to handle this issue of death before we can start living. And Jesus knows it. We just can't step out of this church until we know that we know Jesus. Because that world out there is going to take our life. We're in a dying world. And we need to be that. And so what's Jesus say? Hey, as soon as you come to faith in me, I want you to do something. I want you to do a drama of a death. And last Sunday night, we did it. And I stood there and said, Annie, do you have a profession to make? She goes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior forever. And I said, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, upon your profession of faith in him, to love him, to live for him, and if need be, sister, to die for him. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism. Die, Annie. Raised to walk in newness of life. He wants us to do a burial. We don't use dirt because it hurt. We use water. Thank the Lord, huh? Jesus was buried for us. And he rose again for us, and we respond to him like that. In fact, Paul says that if our faith has no life after death, then we are of men most miserable. Man, faith is taking care of this. Do you know the lost think about death every week? I think about it more than that. I might think of it daily, but I think the lost think of it every 52 times a year. they think about dying. It's because God's calling on them. Until we get saved, we get saving faith, we cannot live free in this most dangerous world. For at any time, you could be swept into eternity, lost and without faith and without hope and without Christ, condemned. And it'd be your own fault. Most people, you ask them, hey, what are you going to do when you die? I don't know, go to a better place. I hear it all the time. Or they don't believe. They believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. You know, American Airlines in the 80s, when they were booming and going, they had a deal where you could go to your local airport, put your name in a bucket and $50, and you could come back in a month, and you could go anywhere in the U.S. of their choosing. And so people would show up with their Bermuda shorts on, and they would think they'd be going to Miami, but they got to Minneapolis. Right? Or someone would show up and say, oh man, let's get our ski poles. We're going to Denver. No, you went to Detroit. Not too many hills. All right? And people, the people that were really happy just showed up like Hope and I would and say, let's just go. Minneapolis, Mall of America, we'll go for it. Miami? I don't know what to do in Miami. Yeah, I don't know. You'd probably figure something out. But we would be happy. We'd be together. But you know what? That's not a good philosophy for your eternity. Because most people are going to get up this morning and say, I don't know. When I die, I'm just going to show up and see where it goes. Not a good plan. Because the Death Angel Airlines only goes two places. Heaven or hell. And for you to reject the almighty, precious Jesus, you'll deserve every bit of it. And not give up on this world. So let's go on. That's the response. Have you been called, and do you need to respond to Jesus Christ? Has he been calling you? Then obey. And what's that do? When we turn to Christ, what's that do? What's the result of this saving faith, and we just get, boom, get Jesus in our life? Well, oh man, there's some great things. Look what it says, first of all, 13, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. Do you know what's going to happen the first time you get faith? You're going to all of a sudden see things you never saw before. Your whole life's going to be, what? I can't believe I didn't see this all these years. I can't believe it. There's a God in heaven, and he's working in among us, and I see a country. Now, I'm not saying I've laid hold of it yet, but this is one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward what lies ahead, the upward call of Christ Jesus in my life. That's what happens. And our faith is not blind faith, as many accuse us of, by the way. I've been told that many times. The Word commands us to live by faith, not by sight. And indeed, this is dying faith. It's because we're living in faith. But our faith has eyes, that God has revealed something to our hearts, that we possess a hope of the unseen kingdom of God, and it has been made real to us. Many say seeing is believing, but God has called us to believe and then see. Because to really see, you're going to have to believe. And man, does he make it clear. Matthew Henry, I like it how he says, oh, I know he hasn't possessed it yet, but it's like the old sailor's been gone a year and a half, over to the Americas and down through the South, and he comes back and he sees the cliffs of Ireland, and his heart, though he's not there yet, he can see them. They're a good 2 days off, but I can see them. That's home. That's home. I got to see him. By faith, Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He saw something, and it changed everything. And when you come to faith in Christ, you're going to get faith eyes. And it's incredible. And you'll sit down, you'll watch CNN and go, what are you thinking? And you'll watch Fox and say the same thing. And you'll watch this world plummeting and going, what are you guys doing? Jesus loves you. He's available. Well, not only that, it says here that we get some detachment from this world. We begin to unattach ourselves from this world. It says, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. When you look up these strangers and exiles, it means really that I am but a guest in a country not my own. I'm here on a work visa for Jesus. This isn't my home. I'm just a passing through. Now, I don't know about you, but when you go to someone's house as a guest, even my closest friends, I just don't flop my dirty shoes up on their table, sit back, grab the controls out of Wes's hand, say, go get me something to drink. And, well, once or twice I've done that, but not all the time. And I just like, man, this is going to be my house or something. Now, my house, I got all sorts of kids coming over, and they do treat it. Man, they go through my fridge. They go through everything, man. But I love them. Sean just left. That's one of them. You know, they just make themselves at home, and I'm good with that. But, you know, we're not supposed to do that in this earth. We're guests here. This earth belongs to the Lord. And he says it's not eternal. He says he's going to wipe it out one day. Don't get too attached. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, they began to see that they were exiles on earth. They started letting it go. Let me tell you something. Many Christians dread the thought of leaving this world. Why? Why? I mean, I get it. I want to see my son have kids. I want to see my grandkids, but you know what? That's not the most important thing in the world. It's me going to heaven. Remember what our revivalist says? He's more concerned about you getting home safe than your pleasure. Man, Mark needs to hear that. Are you separating yourself? Or are you stuck on this world? Because so many have stored up their treasures on earth, not in heaven. Each day brings us closer to death. If your treasures are on the earth, that means each day brings you closer to losing your treasure. And your treasure's worth nothing. Gold? That's pavement in heaven. What are you talking about? What are you attached to? Hey, this is the major difference between the lost and the saved. Don't love the world nor the things of the world. The love of the Father is not in you. We can't be attached. And I tell you what, that convicts me. When I start getting in love with the world, I start having an affair on Jesus, I start getting, man, what am I doing? I got to let that go. I like the hymn writer, Henry Francis Light, who wrote this. It is not for me to be seeking my bliss and building my hopes in a region like this. I look for a city which hands have not piled. I pant for a country by sin undefiled. Oh, man, that's our hope. Get unattached to this place. It's just a house. And it's going to go up, and you better sell it. Because it's going to crash. And it's going to drive you nuts. And your stuff's going to break. And your shoes are going to wear out. And you know you're getting old when you got silver in your hair, gold in your mouth, and lead in your pants. You're wearing out too. And we have to let go of this place someday. And I hate going to a funeral where no one wants to let them go. It's time to go. Lastly, one of the gifts you get is you get to see things, and the Lord gives you the ability to untouch yourself from this place. And thirdly, backsliding ain't an option. Did you see that? Once you get to see the faith of God, once you see the grace of Jesus, once you receive it, and once you see that he has helped you just get out of the muck of this world, why would you go back? Verse 15, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return, but they didn't. We can't go back. Some of you have been saved in here for just 6 months. Guess what? Can't go back. Just think about it. I've been saved 31 years. Oh, my heart sometimes lingers and wanders from the Lord I love. It's just craziness. It's nuts. But I can't go back. If I went back to the way I was at 21 years old, it'd be hell on earth. God has shown me too much. God has delivered me from too much to give up now. Do you know that's what the Hebrew Bible is all about? The Hebrews, the book? Don't give up. Why would you go back? Don't you remember what it was like? My gosh. And if your heart lingers to go back, oh, tremble. Tremble. I mean, did you read in the Bible on those that want to go back, the children of Israel in the wilderness? I want to go back to Egypt. I want a good salad. That's what they wanted. They wanted a good salad. Oh, how about the slavery part? You see, slavery's easier than trusting God. It's predictable. Wasn't it predictable? Remember the old days? It was predictable, wasn't it? But now you have to trust Christ. How about Lot's wife? Remember Jesus said, remembers Lot's wife, right? She took off running out of Sodom and Gomorrah, kind of. They had to be drug out of there by angels. And she looked back. Now, she didn't look back like Mark Morton wanted to look back. I want to look and say, well, I'm going to watch this. I would look back to watch the boom, you know, the nuke go off. But she looked back because she wanted to go home. She wanted, that was her home. And she even wanted it when it was being destroyed. Whoa. What's wrong with her? No eyes of faith. Stuck on this world. We can't go back. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob all had opportunity to turn back. And I'm sure if they went back to Ur of the Chaldees, they'd have went, come on back. Come on, we'll go back to the old friends. We'll do our own pagan thing. We'll do all that. And you're going to sit there having all the knowledge of God. It'd be crazy. There's no going back, so get it out of your little head. We need to get on with Christ and continue. And that's what Hebrews is telling us. Now, I tell you what. Remember when Jesus was preaching and he says, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part of me. He was speaking spiritually. And a bunch of people left him. They said, I can't follow this. This is crazy. And he looks to his disciples and says, are you going to leave too? And Peter went like, basically, hey, man, that was some crazy talk. But what are we going to do? You have the words of life. We're hanging with you, Jesus, because I've seen too much. Man, I walked on water. They ain't like me. I've seen people raised from the grave. I've seen too much. And we have seen too much to be returning. Pastor Thompson, I went over to his house one time. Visiting, I always went over there for a tuna sandwich. Man, Meemaw could make the best tuna sandwich. She put apples in it. I like that. And a lot of mayonnaise. That is the substance of life, so you know. But I went over there one day, and I was talking with him. He goes, you know what, Mark? I had a dream last night. I had a dream. I was back in outlaw days, and I was drinking whiskey and smoking a cigarette, had a bunch of whiskey in the back of the car, and I was heading down the highway on San Angelo. I said, really? He goes, yeah, man, I came out of that dream like a drowning man. I can't imagine going back there. I tell you what, that's how we should look. Now let me ask you something here. This is great news. We see here that we have to respond. We have to hear the call of God and respond. He gives us eyes. He detaches us from this world, and he says, we're not going back, we're going forward. And he says here we have a reward. And it's right here, and it's very blessed. We can find it here in verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country. Do you have a desire for heaven? Man, I hope so. that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is what? Not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hey, number one, have we shamed God enough? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of done with it. I've done enough shaming God. Do you know I can actually have Jesus proud of me if I just live by faith? I know I'm not going to do it perfectly. Let me tell you something. You study Abraham and you go, oh, wow, he wasn't the perfect guy. And then you get to Isaac, who was a little bit cleaner. And then you got Jacob. Man, am I glad he's in the Bible. What a rotten scoundrel. And all these, though they weren't perfect, oh, they believed the promises of God. And old Jacob, even though he's a scoundrel, he didn't let Jesus go until he got a blessing, even if it dislocated his hip. You're like, what are you talking about? Read it. Read Genesis. Go home today and read Genesis. Hey, we can make God proud by living in faith, and he will not be ashamed of us. You do not have to show up into heaven ashamed. And lastly, he says he's prepared a city for us. My lands, if God is calling us to forsake the love of this world and for the love of him, then I think it's pretty safe to say he's obligated himself to reward us. In fact, verse 6 says, we must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He is going to give you something so much better than this place. And can we just come to an agreement? Have we been here long enough to go, this is kind of a fixer-upper? I'm getting kind of tired of it. This isn't that great of a place. I've talked to so many people, suicidal people, talked them off buildings, and they tell me this, life's terrible. I said, amen, without Jesus, I don't know what I would do. I mean, if you didn't have Jesus, folks, where would you be today? Not good for me. I was heading down a bad road. You know, our world looks at heaven as such an odd thing. You know, I think Gary Larson, you know, the guy, the Far Side cartoon guy, I think he kind of got it once when he painted a picture of a guy with wings and a white robe on and a halo sitting on a cloud thinking, man, I wish I would have brought a magazine. That was the picture of heaven. This is so unbiblical. Heaven's going to be incredible. It's like a city. He says, I'm building you a city. You know, when God builds a city, it's a pretty good place. It's built four square. Now, don't be running off to four square church. That's what they do. Built four square. 12,000 miles by 12,000 miles by 12,000 miles, and you can live in it all the way through it. And it comes down, the New Jerusalem. It's going to be incredible. You don't want to miss this. And you know what's going to be great about it? Jesus is going to be there. It's going to be home forever, and the sun will never go down. And Jesus, I want to see heaven. I want to see Jesus. I mean, what makes my home a home? Because Joel's there. Because Jeremiah's there. Because John Mark's there and Annie's there and my wife. You know, one of the most expensive homes in Reno is right up the street here. It's a nice house. But they lost two babies. Sued the doctor to get it. And they walk around a quiet house. That's not much of a home, is it? You can have that house. I'm going to a house where Jesus is. It's going to make all the difference. I had a different week this week. Megan Reed almost wrecked, and the guy that bumped into her ran across the freeway. He might not live. Looks like he might. It was a fatal at the time, we thought. She got dumped down in, almost went in northbound traffic, came back, almost went into southbound traffic. She hung on there. Little Ezra's in the back for his two-year-old appointment. I was just right behind her. I didn't know this happened. And Jared calls me and says, man, she's just been in an accident. I said, it better not be one on 395 because I just saw the lights. It's definitely a fatal. Yes, it is. But she says she's okay, man. Joel's behind me. And we were running late. Now I know why. Don't get upset. I was upset. And I came down there and I stepped out, and me and Megan Reed had a good hugging, crying time. Because she made it. That's how precarious we are. Friday, my uncle dies. Yeah. Uncle Merle. He's known me longer than I know him. Miss Uncle Moon had him. I talked to him 2 days ago, 3 days ago, before he died. I said, Uncle Merle, what are you trusting? I'm trusting Jesus. That was so good to hear. But I got up there with the family, and all of us circled around. I said, Uncle Merle, I love you. I love you, Uncle Merle. Thank you for being such a good uncle. You never whipped me. I love that about you. He's the only one that ever did. He didn't believe in it, and I like that when I was a kid. And I began to thank him for being an uncle for me. And then I prayed, and I thanked God for him, and I asked God to have mercy on him as we all circled around. And then I went, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Have you been called? Is God calling you? That's the first step. Is God calling you to a life with him? You're the luckiest, blessed person ever in the world if he's calling you.